Lord, we thank you and we bless you, Lord, just for the power of your presence, the beauty of fellowship with like-minded saints. Thank you for this Sunday, March 19th, 2017. What a blessing, Lord, to have this moment. We don't know if we'll get another one, Lord, so we don't want to waste a minute of this moment. Thank you for the smiles, the hugs, the hello, the kind words, Lord. Thank you for the love that's in this place. Thank you for the fellowship, the koinonia, how you've knitted our hearts together, Lord, as family, Lord. We thank you for it. We don't take it for granted. What a sweet, sweet Holy Spirit that's in this place. Oh, we love you for it, Lord. It's just you working through us that allows us to love unconditionally. Now we ask that you would speak to us through your word that's a lamp and a light unto our feet. It illuminates the way as we try our best to navigate through a dark, dying, fallen, and decaying world. Speak to us now. Our hearts are open to receive what God is speaking to us this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Did I say open your Bibles to John 1 and 1? Amen. See if I can get myself together. John 1:1-2. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. Verse 3, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness did not want to embrace it. So, family, as we set the stage, we know we have Easter coming up in a few weeks. But I don't know if any of it matters if we really don't believe that Jesus Christ is God. I don't know if any of it matters. Why would you celebrate the resurrection if you don't even believe that Jesus Christ is God? Family, the way that we're going to be challenged in this society, in this culture, is whether Jesus is God or not. They will tell you they love the man upstairs, but they don't know about Jesus. Jesus made it clear in John 15:23. You cannot have God without Jesus. It doesn't work. So as we spend a little more time on this, I want us to really evaluate. As I'm challenged, I know if I'm challenged, I know that you're challenged. So here it is. Either we believe the world or we believe the word. Let me say it again. Either you believe the word or you believe the world. You don't have to make a decision today because actually you've already made it. Because if you haven't purposely chosen Jesus Christ and the Word, then by default, you've chosen the world. So you don't even have to make a decision. It's already been made. It's reflected in our daily lives. Whether we pray, whether we study, whether we seek God. So you've already made your decision. But we got to understand that either Jesus is God, as he said he was, or he isn't. You've made your decision. Do we practice living right? Do we say no to sin more than we say yes to sin? Yeah, we already made a decision. Yes, we have. Do we trust God more than we trust people and stuff? It's a tough word. I do appreciate y'all coming Sunday after Sunday. Amen. I do appreciate it. It's all volunteer because you don't have to show up. I appreciate y'all showing up Sunday after Sunday. Somebody say amen. So let's go over John 1 and 1 again. Okay, the word, for those of you taking notes, you should already have this in your notes. Was in the beginning, we talk about it's the Greek word is A-R-C-H-E, Archie, the origin, when it all started. This is what we know in the beginning, when it all started. And then the word is defined as God's doctrine, God's speech, God's voice, God's reason, God's motive. When it all started was God's motive, God's speech, God's word, God's decree, God's mandate, his moral precepts, God's work. So in the beginning, all that was there. And the decree, the voice, the motive was with God. And that God is theos, where we get our word theology from. And the motive and the precept and the voice and the reason was God. The same was in the beginning when it all started with God. Then verse 3, all things were made. Made in the Greek is G-I-N-O-M-A-I, genomai. To come into existence is a dual meaning. It means to come into existence and to be finished. So all things were brought into existence and finished by him. And without him was not anything brought into existence and finished that was brought into existence and finished. And in him was life, the Zoe, every living soul. And every living soul was the light. The light was the brightness, the brilliant quality of mankind, truth and knowledge. So the life was the light of men. Everything that's good about mankind was in Jesus Christ. The brilliance, the brightness, the truth, the love, all was in God. Everything that's good about us was in God. But look at verse 5. And the light shined. It exposed. It brought forth the darkness. Darkness is obscure and... What else did it say the darkness was? It was dimness, far gone, ignorant, and ignorance. So everything that was good about mankind exposed the darkness, and the darkness was so ignorant, it didn't even embrace it. So we know that. That's why light and darkness doesn't mix, and we'll get back to that in a minute. But let me take you a little bit further. Okay, this is John's... this is John's point of view of Jesus Christ. Let's go to 1 Timothy. See what 1 Timothy has to say. 1 Timothy 3 and 16. And all the T's are together. You got Thessalonians and Timothy and Titus. All the T's are together. Amen. 1 Timothy 3:16. Let's start at verse 14. When you're there, say amen. If you're taking notes, take notes. Again, family, we're not going to be challenged on God. We're going to be challenged on Jesus Christ. We got to make a decision. We got to make a decision. People will let you say anything that you want to say. But when you talk about Jesus Christ, they don't want to hear it. But we know in John 1:14 that the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We're going to get there. So Jesus Christ came and lived among us. And here's Timothy. Verse 14, 3 and 14. These things write I unto you, hoping to come unto you shortly. He's talking to the body of believers at the church. If I delay long, that you may know how to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church. I just said, I was studying. I couldn't pass that up. It's a way you're supposed to act in the house of God, which is the church. Which is the church of the living God. It says he's the pillar, which is the support and the foundation of truth. God, and make a note, God is the support. You can lean on God for support, and God is the foundation of the truth. I got a couple of contractors in here, many contractors. You know, if you don't have support and foundation, you ain't got nothing. Family, we have to look at the world through a biblical lens and see the foundation and the support of God and everything that doesn't line up with that. We have to question it. We have to look at it closely. But Timothy's saying it's the way that you behave in church. He had already talked about deacons and how they're supposed to behave themselves and a qualification to be sober, to be faithful, to be found blameless. He talked about deacons. He talked about how to behave in the house of God. And then he gets to verse 16. He just flips it. He says he gives us a paradox. He says, without controversy, without debate, great is the mystery of godliness. Now, Paul's right there. If it's without controversy, how can it be a mystery? Because a mystery, by the definition of a mystery, is something we don't understand. But he's saying without debate, the mystery of God, we're not going to even debate that. That's a given. You're in the house of God. You're in church. You know what the word says. We're not going to even debate the mystery of God. It is a mystery. No one can claim to have all the answers. But this is what we do know, says Timothy. And without controversy, don't even debate it. Great is the mystery of godliness and holiness. Make a note. Here we go. God was manifested in the flesh. All right. God was revealed in the flesh. He was justified in the spirit. He was found innocent in the spirit. He was seen of angels. He preached unto the world. He preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world. And then he was received up into glory. Then who was that? Amen. Don't even debate the mystery of godliness. Don't debate the mystery of holiness. God was revealed in the flesh. So as we're leading up to Resurrection Sunday, either we believe this or I don't even know if we want to show up on Resurrection Sunday. Just kidding, just kidding. Please show up. That's friends and family, by the way, amen? Make sure you show up believing, amen? Let's go back to John. Let's go to John 1 and 14. No, actually, I want to go to, let's go to John 1 and 5, John 1 and 6. John 1 and 6, amen? If you're there, say amen, because I done told you a lot. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Amen? The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light. Remember, the light is the exposure. The light is the brilliance. The light was? The light was the brightness, the brilliant quality of mankind, truth and knowledge. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Verse 8, he was not the light, speaking of John. John was not the light, but he was sent to bear witness of the light. Verse 9. That was the true light which lighted every man that cometh into the world. So every person has the opportunity to receive Christ, to receive the brilliance, the brightness, the salvation, the truth, and the knowledge. Every person has that opportunity. But look at verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Man, that has to hurt. And so even as God is speaking to our heart, to be rejected by your own creation. And as parents, we understand that. Even if we had heard the testimony this morning, something that God allowed you to produce rejects you. And then here is God saying, I created you all in. You don't want to have anything to do with me. We talked about it last week, to be crucified by your creation. Take that. Not only do we don't want to have anything to do with you, we're going to kill you. That's why when we stand before God, we'll never be able to tell him he doesn't understand what it's like to be rejected. You don't understand what it's like for people to walk out on you and stab you in the back, literally or figuratively. Oh, yes, he does. And very well. Matter of fact, He made them. He created us. He was in the world, verse 10, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Verse 12, though, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. Make a note. Remember, everybody is not a child of God. We talked about that last week. If you don't believe me, make a note. John 8, 42 through 48. It's a tough word, but everybody is not a child of God. We were created by God, but we're not all his children. Some people, their father is the devil. And that's the word. I appreciate y'all coming back this week. Let me say that. It's the word. It's a hard word. It's a hard word. But this day and age, we need a hard word. Because we live in a tough society. We're in the middle of spiritual warfare. It's a war going on. And if we don't have a good word, if we don't have a solid foundation, if we don't have the support and the foundation of the word, then we'll be caught up. So caught up, we're in a war, we're fighting the wrong enemy. But we are in a war. Verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power or the authority to become the sons of God, the children of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And that goes with John 3 and 3 when he says, you must be born again. Regardless of how you and I were born, in order to see the kingdom of heaven, we must be born again. So accepting Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. I love the word of God. It makes it plain. Here's verse 14. And the word was made flesh. And that word flesh, I broke it down last week. Sarx, S-A-R-X. And the word, the reason of God, the mind of God, the word of God, the decree of God became animal cravings, which entice us to sin. That's flesh. All that God was had to put on this flesh. Somebody say amen. Amen. And was enticed to sin. I was listening to J. Vernon McGee coming over this morning. Yeah, J. Vernon. And he said something that was really, he was on one this morning. He said something that was really profound. Because we can never think that we've arrived or we have it all together, we have it made. He said, you know how he's like, folks, if you think that. That's how he sounds. But he said, if you knew what type of man I was and the sin that's in me, you wouldn't stand here and listen to me. But he said, but before you leave, if I knew the type of person you was and you were honest with the sin that was in you, then I wouldn't stand here and talk to you. That's why we need Jesus Christ. And when you get transparent and you break it down, then if you can't be that brutally honest with yourself, then you gotta dig a little bit deeper. That's why most people don't get into the word, because the word just exposes everything. That's why it says it's sharper than a two-edged sword, because you can't read and go, ooh, it's the mirror, it's the reflection. Let's go to 1 John 1. Let's break it down a little bit deeper. That's why as a pastor and as a man of God, I stay humble, because it's a lot going on. And the minute you think you arrive, you'll find out you haven't. It's just real talk. That's why when we have our men's fellowship, it's important to be there. But I understand, because you know we're going to expose some stuff in there. Because the word is light, and when the light is shined on darkness, then the darkness is exposed. Ladies, that's why when you have your women's fellowship, you come and you You talk about the battlefield of the mind and expose what the enemy is trying to tell you about yourself. That's contrary to the word about another sister. That's contrary to the word about your husband. That's contrary to the word about your kids. That's contrary to the word. So you need to come together and expose that lie. That's why you got to be in your word every day. Every day you got to wash your mind with the word every day. If you take a shower every day, you should be showering your mind with the word every day. Every day you take a shower, you need to be showering your mind with the word. Now, if you skip a few days, then skip a few days. Okay? If you skip a few days, then I give you permission to skip a few days. Pastor, I didn't shower, so I didn't get into the word. Cool. Just stand over there. I got you. All right? Just, okay. Hey, matter of fact, call me, okay? Because we don't, I can, that's it, okay? You got my permission. But we need it every day. As I'm studying family, I'm trying to impress upon you what God is impressing upon me. We don't have time to take a day off from reading his word, from staying serious about God, sharing his word. It's too much going on. It's too delicate and deep out there for you to be out there uncovered, unsure, without the word. That's what God is impressing upon me. And we got to start with the foundation, which Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ died for our sins, and saved the world, as many as would receive him. So here we are in John 1 and 1. 1 John 1 and 1. Amen? All right. So it says, in the beginning, that which was from the beginning, when it all started, which we have heard, which we have seen. Here's John saying, look, we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, our hands have handled of the word of life. We handled Jesus. We touched Jesus. We felt Jesus. We saw Jesus. For the life was manifest, the life was revealed, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Jesus Christ was eternal life. That's why when you accept Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior, then you have eternal life. Amen. Apart from Christ, there's eternal separation from God. There's eternal darkness. There's no life in that. It is forever. Yes, there is life after death, either with Christ or in a Christless eternity, which we know as hell or the lake of fire. But the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us, which was Jesus Christ. That verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. So understand that. The only way we can truly fellowship is when we have Christ and we have life with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So he's saying that because the only way that you really have a relationship with someone and get to know someone is through Jesus Christ, when we're transparent through Jesus Christ. It's hard to have a relationship with someone that you don't know. It's hard to have a relationship with someone you don't spend time with. Whether it's a natural or a spiritual relationship, it just doesn't work. And he says, look, verse 4, and these things we write unto you, that your joy, that your calm delight may be complete. Not happiness, but joy. It's nice to have a little happiness every now and then, and that's good. But beyond that, we have joy through Jesus Christ, and it's complete because of our relationship through Jesus Christ and what he's already done. Verse 5, and this is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, brilliant, bright, truth and knowledge, and in him is no darkness, no obscurity, no dimness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, if we say we have fellowship with God and we practice darkness, we lie and we don't do the truth. So he shifts into the light and dark. He didn't say if you have a struggle and you stumble every now and then, that's not what he's saying. He said that when it's your life, he says, when it's your way of life, when darkness is your way of life, you don't have no fellowship with God. So you can't tell, you're lying to yourself. You're deceiving yourself. Okay. Now, so you're not talking. Remember, we talked about the struggle. We got the struggle. We got the practice. And here, even the practice and the life is closely related. When it's just your life, darkness is your life, stop lying. You're not doing the truth. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he in light, if we practice living right as God is the light, we have fellowship one with another. See, that's how we have true fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. It's hard to have fellowship with someone that you don't know. Bless you. And if I'm walking in light and you walking in darkness, it's hard to get to know that because I'm trying to be transparent and you don't even want to embrace any part of the light. It's just hard. He says, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. When we're walking in light. And you know, part of walking in light is confessing and forsaking that we might find mercy. Walking in the light is every morning throughout the day, God, forgive me for what I just thought. God, forgive me for what I just did. That's walking in the light. Constant confession. Somebody say amen. Amen. It's not every now and then, it's always. When you're real with yourself. I've seen the way some of you drive on the road. God, forgive me for what I just thought and what I just did. Yes, I've rode with many of you on different occasions. Yes. Just in that alone, God, forgive me. Okay? Now let's go back to John. Just in that alone, that's the little stuff. I don't need to ask God for forgiveness. Dude, have you driven with yourself lately? Are you in the car with yourself? That's probably why you drive like that, because you're not even in there. Just in that alone. Just in that alone with the people that we work with. And some things that we think. Those of us in the schools, just in that alone, with some of the kids that we deal with. God, forgive me for thinking that about that kid. I was at a school and I was sharing with my wife, and I think I shared with a few other people, and the kid was just out of control. I'm just there observing the class, observing the teacher, really. She's trying to get her credential, which doesn't look like she's going to get it, but that's a whole nother story. And this kid was using profanity. This is a middle school, by the way. Profanity out of control. Then one of the aides that were in the class, it was two adults, three adults in the class. And the aide said, you guys don't even realize there's a visitor in the classroom. You know, act like you have some sense. And the guy looked around. And I was just looking because, you know how you try and give kids that look. I was just flabbergasted, like, is there any filter, any shame with middle school kids these days? I know it is, but in this class, it was not much for about three or four of them. So our eyes made four, my two and his two. And he said, who is that shiny head blankety? who that shiny head blank, blank looking at?
Blank, blank.
Anthony, give me a pound. That's why I'm saying, when I drove home that day, Lord, forgive me what I was thinking. Because I'm not going to lose my job behind this kid. I can't say nothing, because if I say anything, Sister Shalita, and that boy says something else, then Professor Carter has lost his job. And they're calling the university saying, what type of professors are you sending to the school that beat up kids? Yeah, the old school kind. I couldn't pretend that when I was driving home, Lord, forgive me for what I was thinking. Because I'm still struggling. Man, I'll go to my mom's house, bring my nephews up to this school and say, man, go handle that dude right there. I snatch that dude up and throw him right out the class. Praise the Lord. That's just the little stuff. Now, hear what I'm saying. That's not the big stuff that we think. That's just the little stuff that we say, oh, I didn't mean that. It means a lot. That's why we need Jesus Christ, because without the power of the Holy Spirit, one of the fruits is what? Self-control, temperance, where you just say, wow. But then it's also love and joy and peace, where you say, I got to pray for this little kid, because he's going to say something to the wrong person, and he's going to end up in a bad place. And these are our youth. So, I mean, that's when you have compassion. That's how you can pray for those who don't mean you any harm, because you know how it ends. But we have to. It's no way I can say I'm not. Oh, I'm way above that. I don't need to confess my sins. I'm good. I'm the pastor. Don't set yourself up, family. Every time. Every minute. That's what Paul said. We pray without ceasing, because we're always in an attitude of prayer. Because if you're not, you're going to hurt somebody. You're going to cuss somebody out. You're going to say something that you shouldn't have said because you're not praying without ceasing. You're not in an attitude of prayer. Are we back at John 1 and 14? I love this scripture. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, his doxa, his brilliance, his radiance, his majesty. I like that word. D-O-X-A is what it's called in the Greek. His splendor, his kingly majesty. John said, we saw his kingly majesty. We saw his dignity. We saw his honor. We saw his worship, his praise, his brightness. We saw it. We saw the doxa. I like saying that word. D-O-X-A. The glory, the doxa, is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And it talks about John bear witness. This is where we stopped last week, and we're going to stop here this week. But anyway, verse 15, John bear witness of him and cried, saying, this is he of whom I spoke. John gives us another paradox. John says, he comes after me, but he was, in that word preferred, if you make a note, the word preferred is the same word as made. All right? John said, he comes after me, but he is existed and finished before me. Because he was before me. So how can he come after you if he existed and finished everything before you? And of his fullness have all we receive. Verse 16, underline it, and grace for grace. Gosh. The grace of God for the grace of God. And of the fullness, the completeness, have we all received in grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth. And the truth being translated as the reality. The reality and the personal excellence. For the law was given by Moses, but grace. Okay, let me give you the grace. The full of loving kindness, the merciful kindness, the favor, the joy, the pleasure, the delight, the sweetness, the loveliness, the benefit, and the reward. The law was given by Moses, but the loving kindness, the merciful kindness, the favor, the joy, the pleasure, the delight, the sweetness, the loveliness, the benefit, and reward. And the reality and the personal excellence came by Jesus Christ. That's good stuff. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. We'll break that down a little bit further next week. If you would, let us just bow our head just for a quick minute. As God is challenging us, I don't know, if you're building a house and you don't have the right foundation, it's never going to be right. If it's off just a little bit, it's going to mess up the whole thing. Our foundation as Christians, as believers, before we were called Christians, Jesus was called the Way. Are you a believer of the Way? Because Jesus said he's the way, the truth, and the life. Either we believe that Jesus was God, is God, and is to come as God, I just got to continue to pray to God, reveal it to me. Because as we step out these doors, the world is telling you that God is in everything and that you're your own God. And if God was real, why is there so much hate in the world? But the word tells us that God came and his own didn't receive him. And instead of embracing the light, because there's darkness out there, there's spiritual warfare and spiritual wickedness and darkness in high places. When the light comes, the ignorance of the darkness rejects it. Families, we go out in battle just day to day. Your support and your foundation is Jesus Christ. You have to know that. So, Lord, as we're praying, we just want to say thank you. We bless you, Lord. We love you. Because there's none like you. There's nothing too hard for you. All things were made by you and without anything. And nothing was made that is made. Without you, nothing was made. You created us, Lord. It is our reasonable service to return thanks and live for you. So give us the strength, give us the courage, give us the desire not to just be surface and shadow Christians, but to make you Lord of our life and to commit, trust, surrender, and submit to you like never before. Lord, I want to pray. Maybe someone's here and saying, Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. But today I want to make that decision. If that's you, elevate your hand. You say, Pastor, I've never accepted Christ. Not as Lord and Savior. Just thought maybe he was a good man or just something in the history book. But today I realize he's God. And I need him because I need the forgiveness of my sins. If that's you, elevate your hand. Maybe you hear you say, Pastor, I just need to rededicate my life. I've just been kind of floating along and we're in March, getting ready to hit April. And everything I told myself in January, I'm no closer to it. But I want to rededicate this morning. If that's you and you want to rededicate your life this morning, elevate your hand. Maybe you're here and you need a church home. Say, Pastor, I just need a place where they love God. They love each other. No games, no tricks, no gimmicks, no drama. just the love of God. If that's you and you're looking for a church home, we'd love to be your family here at South Bay Abundant Life Church. Elevate your hand. Lord, how we thank you. How we bless you, Lord, because there's none like you, nothing too hard for you. You are the Lord, you are God, and you change not. Lord, strengthen us in our walk. Strengthen us in our faith. Let us read your word. Let us worship daily. Let us pray daily, not as a religious thing, but as a relationship thing. Lord, we need to know you more and more each day. Just like we take a shower, Lord, we need to shower our mind and wash our mind with the word. Thank you for the challenge, Lord. Thank you for the challenge. We accept it. We'll share your goodness with someone this week. Send them our way, Lord. We'll declare that Jesus Christ is God. We'll declare that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Send them our way. We'll share. Bless your people. Thank you for blessing this service. We thank you that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand to your feet, give someone a hug, and you are dismissed.